It is that time again. It is the book club. I can't believe how many book clubs we get through. Well, it is one a month. But I've not seen Sylvia for a couple of months because I've been away every time you've come in, Sylvia.
You have, yes.
Very naughty of me, but not today. Now, who is Sylvia Kent? Sylvia Kent is a fantastic author, writer. She's also a journalist as well, writing for national, regional magazines and online journals. She published 10 books, and it looks like, as I said to you before, she's going to go for book number 11. Her current book is on the history of Barking and Dagenham. Is now out, and you can check out her blog as well at sylviakent.blogspot.co.uk. Also joining Sylvia today is Peter Dowles. He joined the Rotary in 1996 while in charge of Kensington Police Station, and we'll be talking more to Peter about all the work of the Rotary, also the Young Writer and Young Photographer, which is the Rotary National Team, which he also looks after as well, so we'll be chatting to Peter. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
See, I talk very, very quickly.
Yes, you do.
Now, you were both at the Strawberry Fair this weekend, so before we talk about all things bookish, what did you think of the Strawberry Fair?
Oh, I thought it was excellent. I was really overwhelmed by the number of people that turned up, bearing in mind that it was raining at times and it was dull, but it was a good day. Yes, I ended up being there for nearly 6 hours, so it must have been a good day.
Wow, did you like the cars?
Oh, I did. Yes, I did.
Classic cars.
Mind you, it takes you back and realise how old you are, don't
you? Makes me jealous when I see those cars. Everybody's cars are kind of plastic and, you know, they go for miles and miles. But when you look at that, that's a proper, you know, you've got the
wonderful
sound of the engine.
Yes.
Very, very good.
Yes.
Now, you came over, Sylvia was there on the day and having a good look around. I did go to the cake stall. Did either of you manage to go to the cake stall?
I didn't, no. I was there to listen to you and to meet your mum.
I was there to buy cakes. I got a lovely apple strudel for my mum for the cake shop, and also a bit of chocolate cake and a custard tart. She's diabetic. I'm not trying to kill her off, but she could have a little bit of the cake. It's a little bit of the cake. So it was a great day, Strawberry Fair, and the mayor was there as well.
Loved it. Got a bit wet.
Yep.
Drizzly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be publishing the photos I took of you lot on my weblog.
Yes.
So that this evening. And also of Peter, our guest today, because I took a photo of him with the ladies, the Breakfast Club.
Oh, you must say good morning. You've got to say good morning, because they will be listening, the Breakfast Club ladies.
They will, I know, yes. And one chap amongst all those ladies.
Tell us about the Breakfast Club, if we can kick off who are the Breakfast Club ladies?
Oh, well, the Rotary Breakfast Club. There's three clubs in Brentwood. We're the Breakfast Club, and there's 21 members. We are roughly 45 in relation to women and men, so therefore we're a dual gender club. We meet at 7:15 on the morning, which sometimes puts a few people off, but it's good for those that are going to work. I mean, the reason I went there when I left the police, I was a teacher at or a college lecturer at Basildon, so therefore I could go to breakfast and then go to work. And we do the same work as all the other Rotary clubs do, but on a smaller scale, because there's only 21 of us.
Yeah. So you won't name them all, but good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning to all of you.
I think you had an ex-mayor there, didn't you, Peter?
Yes, Valerie, yes.
Yes. And others that I'd heard about but hadn't met, and it was lovely to meet them. But, you know, that's an early time to meet. Oh, dear, I'm not even awake then. 7:15.
I am, I'm awake. I'm I set my alarm and then I lay in for a bit.
Yes, yes.
I hate nothing worse than having your alarm set and having to get up at the time. I always set it about half an hour to 45 minutes early so they can have a bit of a lay in. I think that works quite well.
Yes, yes. That's a psychological thing, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say I was a psychopath then. It's not very, not very good. Now, talking about the book club, Sylvia comes in and they review book clubs down at the Billericay
Library.
And you pick out different books every month. So what books are you reading at the moment, and what ones would you recommend, or what ones are you enjoying?
Well, you see, I don't have that much time to read fiction, because most of the time I'm researching for articles that I'm writing. But we had a bumper attendance last week, about 18 of us, and we had 3 books on offer for the month of June. Now, the library really are good. They sort them out for us and they send them in and we just take them. Some of them are still reading The Glass Room. I haven't tackled that. Some are still reading The Pile at the Bottom of the Stairs.
I've started reading that. You gave me that book when you came in last time. I'm not a mother.
No.
If you are a mother, you will really enjoy it. I'm not, but I'm still enjoying it. It's very, very good.
It's a bit rude in the middle.
Oh, I've not got that yet.
I should have put a sticker
cover your ears, Peter.
Oh, dear. And I'm starting The Children Act by Ian McEwan. But first I've got to finish The Miniaturist by Jessie Burton, who was a speaker at the March Essex Book Festival, And it's her first book, and it's going to be made into a film.
Oh, excellent.
How wonderful. And yeah. She's young and vigorous, and, you know, she's a really lovely lady. And it's about Amsterdam in the 1680s. Now you think, what a funny thought, you know, what a fun... But it's really good, and I can't wait to get to the next bit. Mm. So when I finish that, then I'll start Ian McEwan's. But I do love reading so much. And we've got 650 reading groups in Essex.
Yep.
Brentwood has a very lively group. They meet in each other's homes. So forgot what they're reading, but I know that they're very keen. I mean, reading is wonderful.
Well, it's escape. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. As long as you can get hold of a book, you can be anywhere in the world doing anything.
Yes.
And that's why it is important. But you have to think, sometimes school children, I know now, you're getting a lot of children coming out of school that not for the best skills for reading and writing, and all the texting people do is shorthand words and stuff. But it's great to... if I'd have had children, they would have been sat there with a book, I can tell you. Not a Kindle.
Love it. Well, I use Kindle.
My Kindle, but I have to have a book, Peter. I like the thing of getting your book, and it's all you know, it's all nice and clean, and you open it and it's, you know, it's,
but you don't take it in the bath, do
no
you?
I have a book for the bath, and then the Kindle is elsewhere.
Yes.
Now you've got 10 books. Now Sylvia, as you might know, Peter, she's written 9 books. She was saying only last year, I won't be writing any more books.
No.
I've had enough. And now we're getting book number 10.
Number 10
number 11
but they've asked, and I don't think I'll do that because there's lots of...
No, you've got to. I'd love to get... Sylvia makes fantastic jams and pickles and everything. I think it'd be fabulous.
It's about preserving, but it's a big project to take on a book. You know, I was talking to Peter that, you know, he ought perhaps to do his memoir or something because of... the work with the police. I'm always interested in...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the police force. When did you... Because we always... I love that series, Life on Mars, which was set in... Everybody loves that series, from the which was set in the 1970s of the police force. And then I recently, unfortunately, had a robbery, and the way that the police is now, and it's very much gone onto computer and paperwork and all the rest of it, and it was a great, lovely officer that dealing with my case. But how... What were things like when you first joined the police force? And what was it like towards the end?
Well, apart from the exaggeration, just for TV, Life on Mars was quite similar to what it was when I joined.
Yeah.
And there were no women police officers that went on the street too often. And funny enough, I can always remember, because I was at Bow Street when I was a young police officer back in 1970, and they said, go and knock on the women police office and get this, and I could feel myself shaking. That's just the way it was in those days.
Yeah.
And yes, Life on Mars was similar, the bill is similar, but of course the things that happen on the TV programmes happen in an hour, whereas that might be stretched over a year in a real police station.
And these were at the times, obviously, there was no computers, there was no mobiles, you might have had the, what was it, the old radio, the things in the car and stuff like that, but you didn't have all that technology, so it really was, what was actually working on, what sort of cases, I mean, obviously you can't talk about, you know, specific cases, what sort of cases would you have been working on?
Well, to answer the original question, you'd have to go around and use telephone boxes, so you had to make sure you were at a particular point at a particular time, because if you didn't sign in, the sergeant would be on your back. We used to get the same sort of... I very rarely dealt with burglaries and that sort of thing in central London, but there were drink drivers, there were thefts, there were stolen cars, there were robberies and that sort of thing, and of course there was also the highlights of I remember the Beatles coming to Leicester Square, and I was put on the door for their party. The actual place is now gone, but I remember the Beatles coming in, they invited me in, and I thought I better not.
You didn't get a photo opportunity then?
No, I didn't. No.
You see, today they would have been. You'd have been there with the old mobile phone with a selfie, wouldn't you? Lot different. So, would you say that back in those days, when we're thinking about the police force, because I'm from that generation, I would still say police, not service, police force. With criminals, was it kind of a mutual respect? A different type of criminal, would you say, back then to what it is now, or?
I think you're right, actually, yes. If a criminal was arrested, it would almost be straight out the textbook, you know, hands up, you caught me, mate, sort of thing. But, it was in those days, and I think everything operated differently, but I wouldn't say there was anything that was wrong about anything that happened, because there's always talk about what was it like in the days they used to pick up anybody, and no, it wasn't like that at all. There was a mutual respect, I think you're right.
Now, I wanted to talk about your work with Rotary as well, because we do have guests that come in from the Rotary Club who do amazing work. So how did you actually get started in Rotary? What made you want to?
Well, I was sitting minding my own business at Kensington Police Station, and I had a phone call. There's somebody here from Rotary want to talk to you. So they came in, sat down, and they said, we'd like you to join. Well, at the beginning, it was perfect, and I went to lunch, and then I joined, and then eventually, I've got to say that I couldn't compete with some of the money that they were earning, but that's another story. eventually became their president, and as soon as I became their president, I got transferred to central office, where I was a staff officer to one of the assistant commissioners, which is equivalent to chief constable in London, and I'm afraid I had to give it up, which wasn't very happy for the person that followed me, because he had to step straight in. But I eventually then moved back to my homeland here in Brentwood, and joined Brentwood Breakfast Club, because it was a new club. It was different to some of the other clubs, because we don't turn up in suits and ties necessarily in the morning. It's a bit more relaxed. And I've enjoyed it. I then became their president, and I thought, okay, I'll now sit back. I got a phone call and say, would you like to take up youth on behalf of Essex and part of Hertfordshire? So I said, is it a difficult job? No, it's easy. Well, we've all heard this before, haven't we? So I did that for 5 years, and then I made my way to last year being their district governor, which is the equivalent to head of Essex and part of Hertfordshire. And as soon as I finished that, they said, do you want a job on the national team of some sort? And I said, yes, and I was quite pleased to get a job in youth again, for which I know quite a bit about. And I've inherited the coordination nationally for young writer and young photographer.
Now, we're going to talk more about that in a while. We're back with Sylvia and with Peter just after this one, and then we've got some ads, and we'll be coming back to find out more about that. It's young writer and young photographer of the which Peter looks after. And also we're talking about fundraising for Spargo Land as well. Ian, the manager, hopefully will be listening, so we'll be having a chat about you as well. Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Right, I am back. I didn't go anywhere, actually. I was still sat here for a time. It's not as if I went off somewhere. It sounded like I've been on holiday, but I'm not. I'm here. I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent, and we're talking today. It's the book club for June. I can't believe it's June already.
I know.
It goes so quickly, doesn't it?
I think we've had over 30 guests.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That many?
Over the years, yeah.
Well, that's a lot of people. Now, we're also joined by Peter Dowles. Now, you are, let's have a quick look, you became the district governor for Rotary Essex, and you're now responsible for young writer and young photographer. So tell us a little bit about the young writer and young photographer, and why it means so much to you.
Right, well, first of all, I better explain that Rotary in Ireland, Great Britain and Ireland, is covered by, at the moment, 29 districts, in other words, 29 areas of Great Britain and Ireland.
And 50,000 members.
And 50,000 members plus, yeah. Each of the clubs within those districts go to the schools, and they would say, these are the competitions that Rotary can offer. In my case, I look after the young writer and young photographer you've mentioned, the 7 to 10 for a junior category, 11 to 13 for the intermediate category, and 14 to 17 for the senior category. Now, we ask the Rotarians to go out to the schools and say, look, young writer competition, up to 500 words on the subject that we supply, which, again, it's not from me, it is actually done democratically. We ask around the country some various options, and then we pick an option and vote for it. For next year, for instance, Our World is Beautiful. So for young photographer and young writer, they should be able to come up with either a story, a poem, or a project, and then they submit that to their local clubs. The clubs then send it to the district, and they pick a winner. And they'll also give certificates and that to those that are not winners. And then the winners are sent to me. And then I phone up people like Sylvia and say, would you be one of the national judges, which we did in May. And there were four other judges there as well. And we had 53 pieces of young writers to look at. And we picked a winner. And a second and a third in each category, and it's up to me now. I've got the certificates, I've got the prizes, and I'm sending them back to those various areas. And Newcastle area was actually a winner of three of the trophies this year, so they really did well. I'd like to see more in Essex, actually, because we only had three come through from in the whole of Essex, which I should be having a word with my Rotary friends in Essex, because, and people say to me, how do you get the teachers to do it? Well, the teachers that I've spoken to in various parts of Great Britain say, well, look, we can use this as a lesson, an English lesson. Sit all the young people down, give them a subject and say, you've got up to 500 words to write about this subject. And that might take a couple of hours, it might take a couple of days, and it's part of the lesson, so it does fit into their curriculum.
I think this is wonderful. Certainly at Billericay School, where we have media groups, lots of people, youngsters, say they want to be a journalist. Well, this is wonderful training, you know, to get beginning, middle and end in those 500 words. And some of your people did it, didn't they? Weren't they lovely?
Well, we couldn't believe that young seven-year-old from South Wales, could we?
Yes.
And incidentally, as we mentioned previously, Caleb Vater from South Wales is actually being presented with his prize at the Welsh Assembly this week, along with the others. So, you know, in Wales they've made quite a good competition about it.
And Peter, tell them the theme, which I thought was lovely, be lovely for Brentwood and Billericay, lighting up.
Oh, that was this year, light up the community. Now, I've got to say that some of the younger ones and some of the junior school teachers phoned me up and said it's very difficult, but I did explain it was not setting fire to the community, of course.
it was
doing something in the community or reporting on something or doing some fictional story on how the community could be better served with, you know, and lit up, so to speak. And that sort of, the theme does spread to the young photographer. Same category age group, and they have to supply three photographs based on the theme, together with a copy of a CD, so in case I need to download them onto the website. And, and again, we had about 53, and in fact, we had Arthur Edwards as one of our
he's lovely.
Of our judges this year. And again, a lot of the trophies went north.
So come on, Essex.
So if schools want to get involved for next year, do they have to sort of contact you, or are you contacting the schools, or how does it work?
They can go on. they can go on the, in capital letters, RIBI, which stands for Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland. And there is a Rotary at rotarygbi.org, but instead of getting complicated, if they just do RIBI, they will get the you know, they'll be able to find out some details about and download any of the forms. And in fact, my details would be on there as well. That's open to everybody. Obviously, the members can go in and get certificates and so on and so forth. But to the ordinary member of public, they can just go on the website and find exactly what they need to. Because we do a lot of other youth activities as well.
And can I add that by winning or coming into the top few of these competitions is the fastest way to success in writing. If you talk to the people, the editors of the writing magazine or of our local groups, we can perhaps mention our Brentwood Writers Circle. It's the fastest way to achieve success if you win one of those. I've done it years ago, and people take notice of you and they offer you things, which is lovely.
That sounds interesting.
Not pickled onions
or alcohol. Now we're going to be talking the fundraising for Spargo. Now it's tell us about this because it is it's a hairdresser's Spargo's, and there is one in Brentwood, and it's run by Ian, who's the manager. So morning to Ian. Tell us about what they're actually doing there.
Ian was approached and said that, you know, there aren't any hairdressers in Great Britain that actually help people with autism, learning difficulties, younger ones, older people, when they go into hairdressers, and I wasn't aware of this at the time, they feel very frightened and sensitive about it. Mm. So what he's doing, he's raised a charity called Spargo Lands, and he intends to build an extension to the back of Spargo's in Weald Road, and then make it sensory lights and music and so on and forth, make people with this type of difficulty will feel safe and happy having their hair cut in that type of sensitive area. Mm. And we're hopefully, we've already raised a few hundred pounds for Spargo Lands, and I know that he's actually jumping out of aeroplanes and doing all the sort of things that we do to raise money. In fact, I understand he's putting a football, the next Tottenham Football Club team together in August in Bishop's Stortford, but you'll obviously hear more about that later. And he's had now calls from all over Great Britain, including Scotland and Ireland, to say that there isn't anything like that in that area. Would they consider, when they've made enough money and the charity's big, to sort of extend it, which he intends to do, but it's starting here in Brentwood.
Wonderful. That is wonderful, because it is one of those things with children do get quite stressed out, but children with autism, they do have to have some sort of stimulation, so the room will probably have bright colours or there'll be things going on to sort of kind of distract, because even young children without autism, they still have, you still get the screams because they just don't I know people, I know actually adults, one of my nephews, they used to shout out the word pig. Used to go mad, absolutely mad, because he hated having his hair cut. It isn't just children or adults with autism. Mm-hmm. It's actually, because there isn't, it's just you sort of sat there and there's nothing else going around.
Scary.
It can be. But for autistic children and adults, it's a really fantastic idea. It really is.
I mean, for 7 years, I worked at the Endeavour School in Brentwood, and I'm sure that some of those pupils would love to go. Mm. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Now, we'll be back. It's 11:57. A quick bit of music, and then we're going to come back just after the news and just have a little bit of a chat with Peter and with Sylvia with this month's book club.